with Jesse Antausch live from the 26th annual Tellurian Celebrity Golf Tournament at Trapper's Turn in Wisconsin Dells. It sounds a lot quieter there.
Yeah, the tee off has just started, so hopefully that. I don't know how loud it was. There's a lot of people here.
I can't wait to hear the Don Majkowski and Lynn Dickey interview. I didn't hear a single word of that.
Yeah, I could hear it. Hopefully it all came through well on air because it was
sounded
good.
Great.
Yeah, it's outstanding.
Jesse, thank you for your service, giving up your headset so both of them could talk at the same time. Yeah, what an unselfish teammate you are.
This actually works great. Becca is texting me from her road trip. This is the first time I've heard from her in a week. So we're rekindling our love for one another.
Oh, wow.
On our little...
Rekindling tell me more. Our love
She sent me a beautiful picture of a waterfall with a mountain in the background.
Okay.
Looks great.
All right.
There.
So she's in Wausau?
That is really pretty.
Yeah. See? There you go.
So Aaron Rodgers is in New York, as we all know. And, Tausch, I did find myself, because I will admit, not just because of my history with him, just because I am fascinated by, and we started the show talking about expectations on him versus Jordan Love, etc., I am all in on the Aaron Rodgers show in New York. I am going to pay attention to every aspect of it. If he tweaks his calf, jogging with Riley Yauch, and has to not participate in an OTA practice, I'm paying attention. If he's going on Shine On Sports on Mad Dog Sports Radio, I'm listening. I want to see how this goes. I'm fascinated by this turn of his career. But he spoke to reporters after the OTA practice that he didn't participate in and said this about what a dreamy experience it is being with the Jets.
I mean, it's been like a dream month so far. I have an excitement about coming down Jets Drive, and it was surreal for sure and strange to look at my locker and see a number 8 or to, you know, be rocking Jets gear. It's a little bit strange for sure, but every day there's been something that's kind of been a little special sign or synchronicity or just a cool moment that reminds me I'm in the right place.
Tausch, when you hear him say that, is that him overcompensating? Is that him convincing himself? Or is that him being honest that he's just, it's all dreamy puppy dogs and ice cream and rainbows and seashells and everything else that's wonderful?
No, I mean, I think if you're not feeling that way right now, what the hell are you doing? You're at Rangers games. You're going to Taylor Swift concerts. You're going to playoff basketball at Madison Square Garden. You're meeting your new teammates. Everybody's in love with you. You got the press swooning over you. It's all great now. But that doesn't mean, you know, I think anybody would think that's pretty dreamy. But there's a lot of work that you have to put in. And that first little stretch here, that's the honeymoon phase, baby. That's the honeymoon phase that they're in. And it can hope, you know, for him and for the Jets, you hope that that continues on. As far as, you know, from a Packer fan standpoint, I think most Packer fans that don't like Aaron Rodgers are going to hope that the Jets struggle because that helps and he stays healthy. Because all I saw on Twitter with the tweaked calf is better get to 65%. And so that's, you just get an idea of where a lot of Packer fans' heads are at. That's, I guess, the, you know, the impetus of everything moving forward. But, you know, I don't have any reason. There's always different motivations that Aaron has. I think this is just genuine. He is excited about the position that he's in and that, you know, it's new. You embrace that change. And, you know, Aaron, with all of his new age things, he's hoping that this is going to work out great. But just like there's unknowns with Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers, let's not kid ourselves. A lot of unknowns there, too. He doesn't have any chemistry with any of these wideouts. He tweaks his calf. His mindset's in the right place. Packer fans are irritated because his mindset is markedly better than it was his last couple years in Green Bay for whatever reasons you want to look at. But everybody that's just penciling these Jets in as being like world champion contenders, Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback for a team that was supposed to be pretty good last year. They didn't make the playoffs.
Stacked.
So they didn't make the playoffs. And it ain't getting easier for him. He not facing the Bears. He ain't facing the Lions, which I guess last year would be a good thing that he's not facing the Lions. But he is now in a bigger boy conference. And the Jets, I'm telling you right now, watch their first month. You think that they're going to grow. And in a case with young players, because they're all in the same age, they're growing. This is different. This is more mercenary type stuff. And when you're involved in an organization and you're growing with them, you're more likely to deal with all the bumps better. When you're in a position like Aaron is and like Randall Cobb and a lot of, it feels more mercurial. It's not, I've been a part of this organization. It's more, I'm going to see how it goes. That's great if it goes well. If it doesn't, all of a sudden, do you still have that same chemistry and unity with guys that are at the back end of their career? Maybe, but just being around teams long enough, you also get a lot more selfishness when it comes to, we're struggling. How's that going to play? So the New York Jets have a good defense. They have just as much inexperience at wideout as the Green Bay Packers do. And while their quarterback, and by the way, their offensive line is nowhere near as good as the Green Bay Packers. So I would say, slow down. But I don't mind. The Jets, the hype machine is in full effect. And that is great. Until it's not. And I would be very surprised if they don't have a lot more potholes in that road to Las Vegas than what everybody else is trying to tell me.
So one of the great things about doing this show with you, and believe me, there are drawbacks too. But
that goes both ways.
Trust
me, it does. I can assure you.
One of the great things is that because of your 11 years of experience in the league, there are very few things that you cannot speak intelligently upon because you experienced pretty much everything. Except this, playing for another team after spending a huge portion of your career with one team.
Mm-hmm.
You can't speak on that. Now, was it the Chiefs that thought they might try and take you and then you decided to come back and everything else, right? What do you think, because you've at least been around other teammates who went to other places, right? So many of your fellow offensive linemen finished their careers elsewhere. Cliffy even had a chance to do it and chose not to. But I'd be curious, do you know what it was like for them? Because, yes, you're right, honeymoon phase, everything else. But I'm guessing that Rodgers isn't bringing up in a press conference with the New York media some of the difficulties he's experiencing or some of the uncertainties he's experiencing. I don't think he's sitting there going, boy, I really made a mistake. I don't think he's thinking that. But there's got to be some things where he's like, God, this is such a pain. I was so much easier back when I knew everybody in the building and I didn't have to adjust to a completely brand new environment.
Yeah, but you're not going to look at it from that perspective right now. That's more reflective. And when you're in the moment, you're not reflecting. You're working through things. You know, one of the things I was listening to him on Adam Schein on Sirius XM this morning, and one of the things that he said was it's comfortable and it's hard, but you have to lean into change. He's mm-hmm. leaning in right now. But when you're leaning in, if there's no pillars to hold you up, like if you're on a golf cart and you're leaning over into your buddy and your buddy slips out, all of a sudden you fall out the cart, that's not as fun as when you're doing it. So, yeah, you're leaning in and you're embracing all of this, and that's great. Until it's not. And what you know, one of the things when I put that Twitter thing up about what guys leave and have a better second act somewhere else, it's minimal. Because A, teams don't let great players leave very often. And when they do, it's at the back end of their career. Aaron Rodgers is the back end of his career. He is going through a lot of change, and it was because I think he felt like it was needed. Okay. That doesn't mean it's going to be good. Change isn't always, change is change. It can be great or it cannot be great. You can get divorced and that can be change. You're going to try to make the best of it, but is it great? I don't know many people that have went through a divorce and, boy, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Not at least initially. So, now, I think this was more of a divorce than it was a mutual up. Is it something that Aaron is going to lean into initially? Absolutely he is. But you don't think there's a part of him that's saying, man, different trainers, different strength coach, different system, different everything. That's not always easy for older folks. You know how old I see it in my own life. I get older. I'm not getting more open-minded. I'm getting more, this is how I like doing things. This is what I like doing.
You don't say.
Do you know anybody that gets older that says, you know what, you're going to travel more, you're going to do more adventures, but those are temporary. You've changed careers. I respect the heck out of people that do it. That doesn't mean it's always for the better. And we'll see if this is for the better for Aaron, and if it's better for the Green Bay Packers. But the other thing that I was mentioning, or that I saw last night, that I got home from a thrilling tie baseball game, our ESPN 100.5 Madison team.
Oh, no.
That was a great tie because we were down two, and the time we were up against the time limit. Mm. The other team stalled a little bit, calling team meetings out there. I'm like, come on, let's go. That's your second meeting. You can't do that. But we ended up tying, and it felt like a win. But we got back and watched the Last Dance last segment, which was the best one of them for me. Got me a little pandemic-y, flashback-y. But one of the things that I noticed was after Jordan went down and did the unbelievable last 41 seconds of that game in Utah, won the championship. And you just think, again, not comparing Jordan and Rodgers because it's not a fair comp. But you remember how successful have the Chicago Bulls been since Michael Jordan and Pippen and they broke up that team? How successful?
I happened to come home from Sydney's soccer game at the exact same time and catch that exact same portion of The Last Dance. So I want to talk about that some more.
I watched Air last night, too.
A lot of Jordan.
Look at that. All of us watching Jordan last night.
I'll tell you, that's why doing those documentaries and why Jordan did it is so important, because you have to remind people. I was crazy enough a couple weeks ago to think LeBron had passed Jordan. And LeBron, when you look at his overarching career, you make a really good argument. But when you look at the impact and what that cat did when the money was on the table, he didn't lose often. And it just reminds you of the greatness of the true GOAT, and that is Michael Jordan.
All right. I want to talk more about this. I do not necessarily want to talk about the analogy of leaning in the golf cart and falling out of it. And divorce, which I guess could happen if you're leaning in the golf cart and it's your wife that falls out. What I do want to hear about, Tausch, though, is American Family Insurance, our great partnership with them.
Yeah, the excitement level. There's Badger, a bunch of Badger packages at the golf outing here. People are excited. And if you want to get in, AmFam is offering you a great deal. VIP experience at either a Badger basketball or football game in the 2023 season. Go to AmFam.com/Badgers. You get merch. You get visits on the court. You get all access. It is a great package for all of us Badger fans. AmFam.com/Badgers. No purchase is necessary. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
More with Jesse and Tausch live from Trapper's Turn at the Tellurian Golf Tournament. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Wasn't right. I should have walked, but I never had the chance. Everything got out of hand and I let it slide. Now I only have myself to blame for falling for your stupid games. I wish my life.
Tausch and Jesse live from the 26th annual Tellurian Celebrity Golf Tournament at Trapper's Turn. I'm in my basement where I belong. But, Tausch, you got home from baseball, I got home from Sydney's soccer game at almost the exact same time, 2 hours apart, or in distance-wise, for the end of the 10th and final episode of The Last Dance, which was being replayed because I assume ESPN was anticipating, well, I don't know, Game 5 of the conference finals to be on their air last night, yeah. And obviously that was not available. But you mentioned Jordan and the Bulls since then, and, you know, the final scene where they all write down what the team had meant to them, and then they put their little notes in the coffee can and they burn them, and it's the ceremony that Phil Jackson does. And then it, you know, it's got this great montage to a great Pearl Jam song, and then it goes to black, and then it shows, you know, Phil Jackson retired, Scottie Pippen was traded, Steve Kerr was traded, Dennis Rodman was released.
Yep.
And what have we heard from the Bulls since?
A lot.
In almost 25
Derrick
years.
Derrick Rose had the good run, but yeah, it's... So this is the part, and I know you take a lot of grief for this, and I think a lot of... you know, when you understand the fact that it's really hard to win consistently in any league... And when you move on, and everybody has to move on from star players at some point, but when you do, that doesn't mean you're going to have success. And our Packer fans are saying, well, don't be doom and gloom, 70s and 80s. And I agree. The league is a lot different than what it was in 70 and 80, but there are going to be bumps in the road. And you're seeing the Bulls, since 98, have not had a good bump in the road since. Other than Derrick Rose's MVP season, it's been... a bunch of bleh.
Here's what they've done. In the six seasons that followed Jordan's departure after that 98 championship, they missed the playoffs. The seasons after that, lost in the first round, lost in the first round, won a first-round series, lost in the Eastern Conference semifinals, missed the playoffs, lost in the first round, lost in the first round. In 2011, they reached the Eastern Conference Finals. Then they lost in the first round, lost in the second round, lost in the first round, lost in the second round, missed the playoffs. And since 2016, they have lost two first-round playoff series and missed the playoffs the other 6 years.
Yeah, it's not good. What is good, though, we're pleased to be joined by Gilbert. I don't know, Santana going to jump on with us too? Yeah, and Santana Dotson, a couple of Packer Hall of Famer and legends from way back in the day as well. Gilbert, we were just talking about the Bulls, and I watched Last Dance last night. The fact that you had that great run, and I think all Bulls fans thought, all right, we'll rebuild and we'll be right back there. They haven't been. Can you kind of, there's Packer fans right now, I think everybody's excited, but we don't know what Jordan Love is going to be. We've had all this great success. What are you thinking about how this is all playing out? You're probably optimistic as I am, but there is that unknown that we haven't had to deal with in quite a while.
Right, right. First of all, I don't like quarterbacks.
Yeah,
second of all, I don't like the Bulls.
You like centers, though, right, that reach you on...
I'm a bad boys, you know.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas, them type that was putting a whooping on them Bulls before it happened. But you know what, man? They gotta give this kid a chance, man. I say this: we had a formula in Green Bay for what, 30 years now. You got Brett Favre and Aaron set behind him, learnt.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got Jordan Love set behind him, learnt. So certain situations, he gonna think back to what Aaron do in this situation, maybe get him out of it. But people also got to understand, when Brett Favre started that first year, he sucked. When Aaron Rodgers started his first year, he sucked. So we got to give Jordan Love the benefit of the doubt for his first year. You can't lump him up with the Justin Fields and the other Mahomes just because he's black. No. He's going to be his own quarterback. I think he's going to be a great pocket guy, get out when he got to, but make certain decisions just like the guy before him that's going to make him great. Give him a chance.
Are fans going to do that, though?
No, I mean, fans, I mean, you know, they got expectations that I don't think he's ready to reach right now. You know, you got to get this guy an opportunity to reach him. He got to have a path to get to him. But year two, year three, year four, I bet you he's going to be an MVP candidate because – because the guys around him is going to be growing as well. We got some hell of a receivers that's growing. So I'm telling you, 2-3, he going to be all right up there with the big names.
Okay, I like that. Mark that. We'll see that. Santana, when you look, you remember playing young quarterbacks.
Yeah.
What do you know? What did you notice? And what, when you guys knew you could smell blood, what were you looking for from when you're game planning that week when you're dealing with a young rookie quarterback or a young quarterback that hadn't played a bunch?
I think getting his eyes off the primaries, whatever you had to do, whether it was through coverage or whether it was through rushing the passer. If you could get the quarterback to drop his eyes and be concerned, and, you know, after he starts dropping his eyes, then what happens next is he starts patting his feet, you know. And the longer you can get his eyes off his primary target as a young quarterback, the more good things will happen, you know. So I think that's really the deal. And like Gil was talking about earlier, for everybody, we focus on the quarterback position because it's a quarterback-driven league. But for everybody, if you think about your first starts, your first time out there, you can practice it and you can be outstanding at practice. But that test that you get on Sundays, it takes some time, you know, because you're going against not only the premier athletes, some of the premier geniuses in the game. So, you know, whether it's a blitz, a four-man rushing or anything like that, we're able to camouflage it defensively for so long. So, you know, as a quarterback, first year out there, it changes. You're like, oh, I thought that was going to happen, but it didn't. And what happens, you know? So, you know, like we're talking about, you got to get a guy time, I think, but we're all optimistic. And I believe what happens now is your GM and head coach, they have to earn their paychecks other ways.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We're not quarterback Hall of Fame heavy at that position.
What do you got? What so schemes and
what
everything
schemes
else?
And everything else you're bringing. So now it's time for them to put that whole package together.
Do you remember when you had, when your, you know, Fritz or whoever was your defensive coordinator throughout the time, when you'd get down and you'd get in your Wednesday meeting and you'd say, all right, was it more, let's do more exotic stuff? Let's, you know, try to shift coverages. What were the big things you were trying to get to kind of, I guess, get after these young guys, because veterans see everything and you have to, you know, really disguise. Was it more about disguise? Was it more about just getting in? What was the kind of the overall attitude that you guys
had? As the number one defense, we knew we were good. And our bread and butter most often would be vanilla because we felt like as far as we had the most dominant defensive front in the league. And then you had somebody that could drop down in coverage and still turn and run. Vertically, like the Leroy Butlers, so that was great when you wanted to camouflage defenses and things like that, exactly what we're in, cover two or cover three. We got to play a lot of games with it. And that might be, you know, in a 65-70 play game, Tiles, that might be 15% of it. You know, maybe 20 of it is disguising. But I believe Fritz had the confidence in us that when all else fails, I'm going to let them put their hands in the dirt, and they're going to make sure they make the right play.
Gil, when did you guys know you guys were number one and creating turnover? When did you guys know that your defense was the real deal?
Once we started adding certain guys, but I think you know, going 95, going up to Frisco, beating them, and then 96, we started putting stuff together. As soon as we got this guy right here, Santana,
071.
It opened up a lot of things, man. You know what I'm saying? Because now we got that extra guy to help push the rabbit out of the hole for the two wolves, as we call them, Reggie White and Sean Jones, to get that quarterback. And certain aspects of the game, man, it changed once we got certain players. Like when Santana came in, we got Eugene Robinson, we got a couple other guys. Our whole outlook became something ferocious. And then when you stick Leroy in there with those big guys and he's stealing all those sacks, which is making us even more mad.
So he's in the Hall of Fame, man.
Because he stole all our sacks thanks to Fritz. But Fritz had a game plan. I love him to death. He just has, because he saw. You know what I'm saying? He would always come down to practice and start with us because it always starts up front with him.
Talking with Santana Dotson and Gilbert Brown, both Packers legends. I think the last time I talked to them both simultaneously was in the visitors' locker room of Soldier Field in 1999. Talked to them both separately a lot of times since, but I had a staph infection in my face, and they were worried with my big elephant man face that I was going to infect them. So they told me to get the hell away from them.
Don't be messing with MRSA.
Three feet, please. 3 feet.
Thanks for not doing that.
That was pre-COVID. You were still masking them up.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm safely 2 hours away from you guys now. So that's the good news. Now, you mentioned something, though, about that defense and how good you guys were. And we all know how great you guys were. But, Gilbert, you were a third-round pick who was released stupidly by the Vikings and had the career you had. Santana, you were a fifth-round pick coming into the league. Spent your time in Tampa, got to Green Bay, and all the magic you guys conjured up as a defense was great. The Packers have 8 first-round picks on their defense right now. 8! What should the expectations be when you make those kind of investments? Because you guys know this as well as Tausch, who is a 7th-round pick. Is that it doesn't really matter where you were drafted. It matters what you do when you get on the field. And their defense hasn't lived up to the expectations that come with that many first-round picks.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're exactly right. You're on to something. When you have that many first-rounders, you have playmakers, but do you have guys that buy in? And we'll start learning real early in the season if they're buying in. What that means is, you know, like everybody wants to be the guy, but can you create the team that you're okay with the other guy making the play because of the defensive scheme and the defensive call? Because defense is all 11 guys being exactly where they're supposed to be every snap of the ball. And what happens if for instance, Gil wants to make the play and we're lined up next to each other, but we need him to two-gap and push the pocket, he's got to be okay with that. And that might not mean getting your name called at the end of the play, tackle by, sack by, block pass by, and all those things. But you understand that you're an intricate part of that defense.
Yeah, I think the piggyback off what Santana was saying, it's just like it don't matter what round you went through. I mean, everybody thinks they're a first rounder. And if you don't get that name called the first round, you got a chip on your shoulder. So that in all pushes you. But then again, the Green Bay Packers, you know, why you messing around talking about all this stuff we've been doing and picking? We've been complacent with what we got. And the reason I say that is because now everybody's catching up. We never had the luxury of getting all these big name guys at one time while everybody else have, because we've been so good.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now that we are coming down, everybody is catching up. Now it don't matter to us if we got a first, second, or third. We need guys that can play the game and get us across the top, because now we playing catch up.
All right, you guys said one other thing that I want to touch on, and I don't remember which of you said it, but you guys have been a duo act for 25 years, so I'm used to it. You said about the quarterback position, and you said, now we're going to find out about, you know, whether it's Goody or LaFleur or the defense. Like that, the great quarterback is not on their team right now. Maybe Jordan Love becomes one someday, but he's not one right now. I want you guys to talk about both sides of the coin, because on one side, you guys knew you always had Brett, who was an all-time great, who could make plays for you and erase mistakes. But one of the things that I always loved about you guys on a defense, and I know Leroy has talked about it and others, you guys used to tell Brett, hey, go out there. If you make a mistake, if you throw a pick, don't worry about it, because we're going to get you the ball back. That's how good you guys were. I'm curious with Jordan Love on both sides of that. This defense, you'd love for them to be as good as you guys were, that they could make up for any mistakes that Jordan makes. On the flip side, they know that they don't have a great quarterback to make up for their mistakes. How does that dynamic work when you're playing on defense in a situation like they're in?
I think very easily, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback is good for 3 to 7 points a game. So defensively, from your scheming to everything, you know, I recall coming over, for instance, came over from Tampa Bay where we were 5-11 and we averaged 16 points a game. And when I came over to, as a defensive lineman, when I came over to Green Bay, they were averaging almost 26 and a half points a game. And what that does for a defender, that tells you, okay, that's going to be a lot more, as we go into from week to week game planning, there's going to be a lot more opportunities for me to rush the passer. Not only sacks, but, you know, so many good things happen from being able to pressure the ball, early throws, late throws, tipped passes that end up turning over to turnovers and takeaways. So your mentality, I believe if you're a defender now in the Packer locker room, you got to say we probably lost with Aaron a good 6 to 7 points a game. So that brings us a lot closer to average teams in the NFL. So we cannot allow one that when you're that even, you can't allow like one missed tackle. You can't allow one drop coverage. You know, because usually if you got Aaron on the other side, you say, oh, okay, well, we can make that up in the fourth quarter. We may not have those opportunities with a brand new quarterback. So everybody's mentality has got to be like one slip and fall could cost us this game.
I'm thinking, just like, again, what my compadre is saying over here, but I'm thinking there's one key component to saving Jordan Love. Our special teams got to show up. If our special teams put us in certain situations that take some of the heat off of him, and put us in certain situations. I think that, you know, because if he starting out on the 10-yard line every time, oh, my God. If he starts out on the 50 going in, different things like that, then that gives him a chance to show you guys, showcase. I mean, everybody wants to see a 90-yard drive touchdown. But then again, you got to have the special teams to set you up to put you in there. So I think special teams is going to be big, not leaning on the defense as much. Of course, defense got to come in and do what they got to do, but I'm really banking on this special team to pick up the slack.
Yeah. All right, before we let you guys go, you were talking, this was interesting when you were saying you have to have everybody cohesively doing it, and when you have a bunch of first-round picks, you guys know this as being non-first-round picks, they feel that pressure to put those numbers up. Did you guys have a point where you had to really get after somebody for not two gapping, because let's say Gilbert wanted to get in the backfield. And was that Reggie? Was that you? Was it the group that said, hey, your job is to hold the edge, not to come up and then get flushed out? Were there, because I'm sure that happened in your career, and who was that person, or do you have any examples of that?
I think all of us were very accountable most often. And it was all about accountability. So I don't know if there was just one guy, but I know the standard was high, particularly, you know, like we're talking about the byproduct that happened on Sundays from practices on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But I recall, like, first coming, when I first got to Green Bay, again, that first Super Bowl year, like, if being the number one defense, like, if there was a play and I was out of my gap or somebody didn't hold an edge and it was 4 or 5 yards, I remember us, the coach wouldn't have to say run that play again. I recall the player saying, hey, run it back. And I think that was more so the mentality that we want to have, like, I'm not going to be that guy on Sunday, so I need to show all these guys on Wednesday, Thursday that I'm going to hold the edge and be where I'm supposed to be. So I felt like, man, this team is an accountable team. Like, we didn't need coaches on the sideline to tell us that, no, it's wrong, we're not going to allow that. The guys on the field were like, no, we're not going to allow that. And the same thing when the subs came in. So if a guy was swimming out of his gap or something like that, we'd let the coaches know, I don't think he's ready for Sunday to play, so just leave me in there, coach. I'll figure it out.
Kind of like, you know, I know my job was to two gap. I mean, and keep the linebackers clean. That was my job. You know, of course, I wanted to run up and make the play.
Get that shovel out.
But I made sure I always did my job. If there's a scoop block or something coming along, I made sure I got what I need to get, made sure the linebacker was clear, then I'm going to go make the play. You know what I'm saying? Do your job first, then go make the play. If you don't do your job and then you got clowns jumped around, then you're going to have an undisciplined defense, and I don't think we was ever like that.
Did you two ever get after each other when it came to, Gilbert, man, what are you doing? Or
Now, you know, Taos, man, he's stupid, yeah.
He always tells the story about when we were in the Super Bowl, and I came out the game, and my backup swam up the field.
Oh, my God.
And they ran a lead draw and scored, so I think we were going down into halftime or something. But Gil, he doesn't yell, he doesn't scream. We're in the Superdome, and he's like, Santana, come have a seat right next to me. Just sit down next to me. He's talking all calm, right? And I'm like, yeah, what's going on? He said, don't take your ass out the game no more. Yes, sir, I got you. I knew he was serious. I'm like, Coach, don't take me out. I'm good the rest of the way.
Well, Matt, we really appreciate you guys coming. Thanks, yes. Thanks for stopping in, giving us some good insight as far as defensively. And you guys are some of the all-time greats. We appreciate your time.
Definitely. Thanks,
Thank you,
Tom.
You bet. Appreciate All right, we will unpack a little bit of that. Some really good stuff there from Santana and Gilbert. We'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Gilbert Brown, who joined Tausch and Jesse. Another quiet segment for Jesse.
I didn't get to hear that one either. I got a lot of listening to do.
Now, tonight. A little Wisconsin On Demand.
Well, yeah. That's why we've got Wisconsin On Demand, presented by Gruber Offices. One call, that's all. Thanks to David and his team for supporting the show and for supporting Wisconsin On Demand. Gruber Offices, one call, that's all. Tausch, they both talked about it. The great quarterback, I always said, Rodgers is the great deodorant. He covers up the other areas of your team that stink, although last year he wasn't able to do that. And Jordan Love's probably not going to be able to do that on his own for this team this year. So this defense, if it's a lot like 96, everything's going to be great. If it's not, we'll have to wait and see how they fare.
Yeah, I think the thing you learn is that you become a little dependent on that quarterback play. You know, Santana said 7 points. You know, you could look at, you know, whenever something happens to a quarterback, especially an elite one. Yeah, Las Vegas looks at it very similarly, 7 to 10 points for the big boys. And you can get caught up in leaning on or depending on, and I'll never forget Brett kind of always talking about at the end of the game, everybody just looks at him, all right, look, do your magic. And you remember the year of Ray Rhodes where they had those great comebacks early in the season, and the just mental exhaustion and the physical exhaustion that takes out on your quarterback, because yes, they're great, yes, it's a huge advantage, but it also puts a lot on them, and if they have an off day, it makes it really difficult to win. You almost feel like sometimes people look at that and use that as a crutch for if they're not playing well, you know what, just keep it close and we'll let our quarterback will win it at the end of the game. That sometimes can be a mindset that gets you beat. And what Santana and why that team was so successful, that defense, they didn't care who was playing quarterback. Now, they understood they had a really good quarterback, but they also said, hey, you make a mistake, we'll get it, because they believed and trusted themselves. It's a different era, it's a different league than what it was then, but that mindset that group had was obviously a huge, huge part of that championship team, the fact that they created all those turnovers and were so dominant throughout the entire postseason.
You could trust that defense to come through for you like you can trust Kohler Services to come through for you on a renovation.
Indeed, and if you're ready for a new shower this spring or summer, oh, well, we have the spot. Kohler Services, a local end-to-end bath and shower design and remodel service that's brought to you by Kohler, a family-owned business in Wisconsin for 150 years. Kohler is the only manufacturer offering fast, professional installation and care for life. You can start enjoying your bath or shower right now with a special offer. Visit kswisconsin.com to request your free quote and tell them that I sent you. Again, that's kswisconsin.com.
Let's play some trivia, shall we?
Yeah.
Jesse, you guys made the journey from Madison to the Dells, much like the journey from Milan to Minsk, Rochelle. So we're going to do a little one day late Wednesday Wisconsin geography trivia.
I figured nothing would get Tausch ready for Wisconsin geography trivia Wednesday than by doing it on Thursday, on a day that we made a little road trip ourselves. And perhaps a little bit of that road trip inspired some of today's trivia questions.
Oh, boy.
Linden Station, I got a feeling we're going to hear about you.
Well, since Riley is producing, I don't need to stick him with a really big number for the caller. So let's just do caller eight. Caller eight, in honor of Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets, caller eight, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776, caller eight for Wilde and Tausch Trivia, which we will play next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Before we get to trivia, Jesse, are you responsible for training Riley Yauch? Is he a reflection of your leadership?
I like to delegate as much as possible, but yes, ultimately, yeah. I am.
So the fact that we don't know if Matthew in Waukesha, who is our contestant for trivia today, is a first-time contestant, it's not really Riley's fault. It's your fault for not properly training him to make sure you ask that question.
Well, are you going to blame LaFleur for every interception Jordan Love throws this year, Jason?
Yes, or at least many of them.
All right, look forward to that then. Riley.
All right, well, let's play trivia, and Jesse, way to take on the responsibility. Because I can tell you this, unlike you, Matt LaFleur is going to try to take the blame for a lot of the interceptions.
Yeah, it starts with
that Jordan Love
starts
throws.
With me. Yep, that starts with coaching. We'll make Riley suffer the consequences. We'll give him a 2-month suspension.
Let's welcome in. You're such a team player. Let's welcome in Matthew in Waukesha and ask him, Matthew. Good morning. Are you a first-time contestant on Wilde and Tausch Trivia? This is also a bad reflection.
Sounds like it's
going to
be
Jesse.
A last-time contestant. Am I right?
Riley, how's it going over there, buddy?
You know, he was on...
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
He was on. I had him potted up.
Riley.
And now I accidentally hung up on him. So
that
is my fault. He was there, though. I put him on hold. I know.
2 months in a week.
Oh, my God. Oh, he's calling back. See, he's calling back. We're going to put him on. What?
All right.
Rough start.
All right. Well, we'll let Riley answer the phone, and hopefully that will be Matthew in Waukesha.
I blame you, Jason.
This was
the jinx you put on him.
He's left his
now
mic
you got
on.
Him rattled. Oh, look what you did, Jason.
And you should be on.
Me? Yeah.
I don't know how.
This is a team loss.
How are you trying to blame Jason for this?
Because he's throwing the pressure on Riley. Riley hung up on the
you,
guy.
I warned Riley beforehand what I was going to do, so he was prepared.
Okay. Oh. Okay. I see the issue now. I figured out the problem.
Yeah.
I had the phone on.
That's great problem
and,
solving.
Okay. See, learning on the job. I did not have satellites 1, 2, 3, and 4 selected. So he was probably talking and no one could hear him.
All right. So what you're telling me is that, again, Jesse did not properly instruct you on how to do this.
I will not throw Jesse under the bus, but
what
possibly.
A good teammate
Two
you
months
are.
Months in a week.
All right. So we have Matthew in Waukesha or we don't. Matthew, hi.
Hi.
Hey! There he is.
I think we should just give him 4
If he won't throw Jesse under the bus, I will, so.
Yes, thank you for your service. Yes, throw Jesse under the bus. Matthew, have you played trivia before?
I have. This is my second time.
All right.
Second time contestant.
Veteran.
Probably the first time you've played Wisconsin Geography Trivia Wednesday on a Thursday, so Tausch will maybe sort of kind of not really help you with these questions. Here we begin with question one. Riverside Park, Granddad's Bluff, and Pearl Street are all points of attraction in which of these Wisconsin cities? Is it La Crosse, Baraboo, or Belmont, the original capital of the Wisconsin Territory, contrary to what we found out on trivia when we thought it was Beloit?
I've got no idea, but I'll say lacrosse.
Yes!
I would agree.
Did you know it?
I just said I agree, so yeah.
Circle gets the square. All right, Matthew, hello? Question two.
What, are you questioning my questioning now?
Yeah. We're throwing you a curveball with question two here.
He's doing the best he can here to really blame everyone but himself if anything goes awry here. Yeah. So, Matthew, question two.
It goes O'Reilly, am I right?
That's not bad.
Pretty good.
Question two, Matthew. Latitudinally, a question early.
Yeah.
Latitudinally, which of these Wisconsin parks is located farthest north? Farthest north, latitudinally. Is it Devil's Lake State Park, Governor Dodge State Park, or Richard Bong State Recreation Area?
Richard Bong.
Hey, I think the last guy was a pilot. I think I remember doing a report on him in, like, fourth grade.
Nice, yes.
You did a report on Bong in fourth grade?
There's something like that. I was in elementary school, I know that.
He was a pilot. All right, so...
I think I picked him because of his fun name.
Indeed. Yeah, all right, yeah, so...
Fun name.
Is it Devil's Lake, Governor Dodge, or the Bong Recreation Area?
I'll go with Bong just for fun.
I'm going to say Devil's Lake. Am I right?
You are right, Tausch. The
where
Devil's
is
Lake
Richard
State
Bong's
Park.
Spot?
It's down near the like Racine Kenosha kind of area. Yes. You pass it on. There's a sign for it on 94 as you're heading to Chicago.
Okay, well, we won't fact check that.
However, we will fact check Matthew's fourth grade report, and he is correct. Richard Bong was a Medal of Honor winner, a member of the... He was known as the Ace of Aces during World War II.
Ace of Bases, am I right?
He was very young when he passed away in 1945.
Jesse saw that sign and it opened up his mind.
Or his eyes. All right, question three.
Well, how did he see the sign of his eyes when it opened?
That's a fair question. I've never understood
opened
that
line.
Opened
up his mind, it's not eyes.
Bong related.
Question three. We'll see if Tausch can get all three right, because Matthew has not. If you are traveling west to east across the state,
okay,
which of these numerical highways takes you
like
through
that.
The towns of Pipe, Chilton, and Valders on your way to Manitowoc?
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Pipe, Chilton, Valders, on your way to Manitowoc.
Okay, I think I know it.
Is it Highway 29, Highway 10, or Highway 151?
I have no idea. Yeah. These are too hard.
Couldn't agree with you more, Matt.
Come on.
At last time I got 3 out of 3, right? Easy. Yeah. This is way harder.
Hunter must have done the trivia that day. 29, 10, or 151?
10.
I'm going to say 151.
Ooh. What good are you if you're not actually helping the contestants?
Well, you won't let me help.
Official
no,
rules.
Jesse
I
want to
help.
ESPN WisconsinContest.com.
And he might be right here. Matthew might be right. I'm not.
100%. No, he's not.
Oh, man.
151 is correct. Tausch, congratulations.
You got how many entries do I get?
Way
beautiful.
To go, buddy.
Oh, it's fantastic.
You get 0 entries into tomorrow's drawing. Okay. Matthew, you do still get 2 entries, and we have not had a great week on trivia, so you still have a shot. Thanks for playing, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
That is Wildy and Tausch trivia. Tausch, you probably need a Coors Light after that.
There's plenty of Coors Light flowing. The mountains are blue. We're out here at Trapper's Turn having a great time. And when you need to chill, grab yourself a Coors Light. Born in the Rocky Mountains in 1978, Coors Light is going to be refreshing. It's going to be crisp, and it's only 102 calories. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The 11 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch begins in 2 minutes live from the Tellurian Golf Outing at Trapper's Turn. It's Wildy and Tausch.